Manchester City take their rightful place at the top of the table. Liverpool break their slump with a commanding win over Tottenham, and Sheffield gain some needed confidence with a big win over United. We down here in the Rattail Bunker and Barbershop Studio, and this is the Boys and Bolos Podcast. Welcome back to the Boys and Bolos Podcast. We're down here in the Rattail Bunker and Barbershop Studio. Jarrett, thank you again. I always thank you, but I don't know why I'm thanking you.
You don't have to thank me at
all. I don't thank you. You come here.
I'm here on my own accord.
You're here in your own accord. I'm not forcing you here.
I sleep down here in a hammock.
Yeah, there's like a little cot. I got a sleeping bag down here. It's one of those sleeping bags for that's rated for negative 30 degrees. It's freezing down here.
I had on my Boston Siege swag hat on, which I may put back on depending upon how cold the old dome ski is.
Yeah, I had mine on too, but I opted for the thermal vest today. Jared, what do you think about this look?
I think it looks like the Titanic sinking. It's like one of those old school lifeboat
vests. Like a lifeboat. Like a preserver.
Yeah.
Well, it is very cold.
You're like Billy Zane taking it from the kid. Shout out Titanic. Epic late 90s movie.
Well, Jared.
There was enough room for...
I'm glad I can laugh.
There was enough room for Jack. I just want to say that to break down all the conspiracy theories that listen to our podcast.
There was definitely enough room for Jack.
It's brutal.
Today was a tough day for me.
As he drinks. You can't see this. Today was a tough day. Takes a swig. Today was the day when we were all reminded that you should never sleep on Mane.
Don't sleep on Mane. Don't start a center defensive midfielder as your primary center back.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. Sometimes VAR goes your way, in the case of Liverpool.
In the case of Liverpool.
In the case of Liverpool, when Son gets called for an offsides call, that was barely there. And then, Alisson handballs it outside the box. And
That was unreal. It was unreal that they didn't look at that.
That would have changed the game, 100%.
If they can take lines and put lines in the field, draw digital lines in the field to figure out that Son's back leftist cleat was offside, how do they not realize the goalie handled the ball outside the box, which I believe, as you believe, would have been an automatic red card because he was out of the box, handling the ball intentionally, and he was the last man back. Because if he doesn't get that ball, Son gets that ball and he's in on goal. Therefore, he stopped a potential goal scoring opportunity. That's correct. Just unbelievable. And that's Liverpool right there.
Yep. Either way, Spurs did not deserve to win that game. They didn't deserve to tie that game. They didn't lose that game. It was a bad defensive performance. Kane got hurt. He's probably going to be out for a couple weeks with an ankle injury.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't look good.
I don't think it's like a season-ending injury, but I think it's like 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, he got hurt, and then he tried to play on it, and then he got hurt. It hurt it again, and then finally they pulled the plug. Yeah, there's a multitude of problems. It's one game. I'm not like overly worried about it.
It's Liverpool. Lose to Liverpool, it happens. They're still one of the best teams on paper and on the field in the world, not just Europe. Yeah. So it is what
it's
it is.
Crazy.
But actually, one of the things I want to point out as we start this episode is that we haven't done a podcast in a while, and that was not on purpose. Week 18, 19, and 20 literally all melted together to a point where we couldn't even find a 24 to 48-hour period to record, edit, and then publish. So tonight, we really have to kind of talk about weeks 18, 19, and 20. And one of the biggest things, obviously I'm a biased perspective, but a sacking of a top team's coach, Frank Lampard gets sacked. Do you think that was fair? And then do you think Tuchel is the right guy?
He was in the job for 18 months?
About a year and a half.
What he did for Chelsea, given that they had a transfer embargo, they couldn't sign any players. Anybody in. To get them top four last season, I thought was, that was pretty good. That's pretty good.
It was honestly impressive. When you think
pretty
about
impressive.
The team he had, to get top four. He had Rudiger, Zuma, Azpi, an aging Alonso, Emerson. He doesn't really have a great defense.
And Kepa.
And he did it with Kepa, who now has less than 50% stopping of shots. He's a sieve. I don't even know why teams don't take kickoffs and they just take it right at him. Because it's literally a flip of a coin if it's going to go in the net.
True. Well, so continuing that, and then he gets all these players that... Some of the players were his signings. I think Havertz and Werner weren't his signings. I think they wanted to splash cash. They wanted to get the most expensive players to fill roles in that team. Just look what his priorities were: building up Mason Mount's confidence, making Mason Mount a true player in the Premier League, which I think he did fairly well. And then obviously he gave him the captain armband the last game, his last game, it's telling that suddenly Tuchel comes in, benches Mount, you know, benches Abraham, and thinks that Havertz is going to be the, you know, Havertz is going to be the savior of this team. And he just didn't have the impact. He doesn't have the impact yet. He's not up to speed. He's still recovering and whatever it is. So to answer your question,
I think it's
fair. In the context of how Chelsea operates, I think that it's fair. I think it's expected. I don't think it was a surprise, given that they were, at the time, maybe sixth or seventh place, fighting for a top four spot. But they have to change their... I think they really need to change their philosophy on how they operate their club. I think...
They're not they. I don't know who you're talking about, but Abramovich is not going to change his philosophy.
I know.
He splashes cash. He runs it just like it's a corporation. And he had the expectation that they were going to do better in quarters one and two. And their profits and the revenue and the balance sheet was really out of whack for what they had invested into the company. Because that's what it is, right? It's a corporate structure, right, and that's the way they take it. I agree with you. Do I think they should have given Frank more time? Probably two or three more games. However, when you look at what Frank did, out of all the previous 10 coaches under Abramovich, he had the lowest points per game out of any of them. And one of the conversations that I've had super candidly in the Chelsea Boston Facebook group is that if it weren't Frank, if it were Sarri, if it were even Matteo, if it were any of the old coaches that have come through the Chelsea ranks, even Ancelotti, he would have gone earlier. But because it was Frank, and he literally is a walking legend, as we've said, and I truly believe, starting 11 in the Premier League all time, he got a couple more days of grace. But the stats, if you remove ourselves from the emotion of it, the stats don't lie. And he was a failing coach when compared to all of the other coaches that Chelsea have had who have gotten fired.
True.
And that's the really tough part, especially as a Chelsea player, because it's like, the guy is a legend. It's like firing Drogba. How could you possibly do that? Frank won everything. He won every cup he could win with Chelsea except the FIFA Club World Cup, which we lost to Atletico and Radamel Falcao. And we also lost to Bayern when we won the Europa. Anyways, I'm doing a rabbit hole. He won every single thing as a player that he possibly could. So that's why it's tough. But I think it actually, when you stand back and you look at the amount of points he had to go. And it's tough. I actually think he shouldn't have taken that job, and I think you said that.
Yeah, I don't think he should have taken the job. I think he had to take the job. I think when they offered the job to him, because they obviously came to him when he was after managing Derby to the playoff in the championship, which they lost. But after that success, quote-unquote success, they came to him. They were looking for a manager. They said, look, Frank, we think that you can do this and that. Perhaps, and I'm just speculating, maybe they never intended to have Frank be the coach for more than 18 months. Maybe the plan was always to have Frank be the stopgap between them not having an ability to sign some players, understand that like it could go either way, and then be like, well, it's not working out. We're going to bring in somebody else who has more experience. And Tuchel fits that bill. Now, I'm not sure. I don't know. Tuchel's success remains to be seen, but maybe that was the plan all along. Maybe that was the plan.
I don't think it's actually, it's not like some deep conspiracy thing. I don't think it's that crazy because I believe he had a 3-year contract, was his exact same contract that Tuchel had. I'm going to call him Tuchel. You can call him Tuchel. I kind of like that. It's like tomato, tomato.
Tuchel. Is it Tuchel or Tuchel?
I heard Tuchel. I heard a German guy speaking English and he said Tuchel. Okay. So I'm going to go Tuchel.
Okay, Tuchel. All right.
Either way. Tuchel signed to a 3-year contract. Frank, I believe, was signed to a 3-year contract. Someone could correct me and say, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's fine. I don't think it's that much of a change of direction, to be honest. And I think you're absolutely right. They brought in a guy who was going to be a legend. They brought in Frank, who was like a PR punching bag, to soak up all the bad press if Chelsea did bad.
Right.
They really just kind of hedged their bets. They're like, if Chelsea do shitty, at least we can blame it on the transfer ban, and at least we have Frank up there to take all the PR.
Right.
If Chelsea actually do well, then that's great. We're not, where they're paying him way less than they would have had to pay a Mancini or an Ancelotti or another coach who would have, decades of a pedigree as far as technical work. Whereas Frank is one of the newest coaches in the Premier League.
Plus, they're not gonna ruin. So Frank's going to gain experience from this. He's going to go on. He's going to take a break. They're going to pay him until the end of the season as his contract requires, which I don't think he was guaranteed money for the third year of his contract. So he's in the second year of his contract now. So he'll be paid to the end of the season. So he'll probably take the end of the season. He'll probably sign for a smaller club, and he needs more experience. He needs to go. He needs to go manage a club and get some success in a lower league or in another league abroad, just like what Gerard's doing in up in Rangers.
That's what he should have done. Because if you go coach Rangers or Celtic in the Scottish League, a league that has traditionally been a two-horse league, or he goes and takes the reins of Juventus, people might think he's some Nostradamus when really he's just got crazy quality on the field.
Right.
Pep Guardiola, as an example, is an amazing coach. But show me a time in his career he's not coached at one of the deepest pockets in that league and had the best team in that league. Bayern Munich, he had the best team in that league, and they have the deepest pockets in the German league, as far as I understand. City, not even a competition. Barcelona, he inherited, or he came in at the time when you had Messi, Iniesta, and Xavi, arguably three of the top 10 all-time players in history, all firing, and Messi was like 18, 19. Maybe if Lampard would have been in a different situation, it would have been better. But I think the biggest problem with him is that he somehow did worse in the year when he spent $220 million than in the year when he was playing Tommy Abrams as the only striker. Because they signed Giroud last winter. We barely had Giroud almost for a year. So it's a very weird situation. But let's transition. Frank's done. Tuchel is here.
Yep.
I want to talk about Liverpool a little bit. Liverpool just beat Tottenham.
Yep.
But Liverpool in the last week, they've lost to Burnley.
Yep.
Which was a shocker.
It was their first win in like six matches.
Yeah. They lost to United.
Yep.
And then they win today against Tottenham, and they kind of look like they're back to business. When I say business, meaning fluid soccer, Mo Salah being absolutely lethal, Mane being annoying. We've said in one of our previous episodes that we believe only the Manchester teams and Liverpool can win the title.
Correct.
With the game that they had today, does that strengthen? Do you think it's a two-horse race? Do you think it's just Liverpool and City again? Is that how it's going to crack out?
I mean, Manchester United lost to Sheffield.
Yeah, they lost to Sheffield, and
that's bad.
And
it
I was talking
bad.
To
it was a bad performance. It was a bad defensive performance, and it was we need to change our goalkeeper performance. That's how bad it was. So to answer your question, two horse race probably at this point. I think it's going to be close up until at least another 10 games. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be neck and neck. City look good. City are the team to beat right now. They've got the best defender in the league right now.
The best defensive partnership.
Yeah.
Well, actually, who do you think is the best defender in the league?
Diaz.
Diaz, okay. I didn't know if you were going to say John Stones, because for me, it's Diaz.
No,
you look at that guy's numbers.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely asinine how good he is, and no one's talking. Well, maybe people are talking
about
it.
People are talking about it.
But we're not talking about it.
It's better than Van Dijk.
Yeah. He's quietly doing it.
He's doing it without any fanfare.
If you just want to talk about, too, the biggest transfers into clubs this season, Ruben Diaz, little shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Højbjerg, Spurs.
Yep.
Unbelievable
value.
Unbelievable. Oli Watkins, Aston Villa, unbelievable value.
Well, he's a championship player that just basically
still unbelievable value.
Seized on an opportunity. And so, like, you can't.
What do you mean seized on an opportunity? That's anybody coming to the Premier League who's been bought from another outside.
But as a striker, there's less pressure on a striker to perform well than on a defender.
What?
Think about it, though.
Strikers have to produce, my G.
Yeah, but if you're a striker, okay, think about it. If you let in goals,
I'm so worried about
you. If you let in goals,
yeah,
people are on you. Like,
yeah, if you blow goals over the net, it's bad.
No, it's not like that.
Okay, I'm picking up what you're putting on. You're saying, because I'm thinking about Timo Werner, you're saying Chelsea fans are lighter on Timo Werner than if Ruben Diaz gets Meg scored on, run him.
Absolutely.
Up. Okay, you're right. Okay, you're right.
People are going to fucking
the critics.
The critics
haters
are shitting on Dyer
media.
On Dyer right now because he's a dog shit center back.
That's what Dyer shits on himself.
But he's a dog shit center back. But nobody will question the fact that like some offensive player is like put a ball over the net. Or, like, flubbed it. Because Sterling does it all the time, right? Sterling does it all the
time. I don't even know if he does it all the time, but he did it once, and that once was like loud enough for 6 years. So
yeah.
He has
so
like
Sterling,
a scarlet letter.
Sterling flubs a lot, right? So Sterling flubs a lot. He hasn't done much
this
year. I think
if you want to talk about something, you can talk about Firmino, who only as of
recently scored goals.
But
right.
He's gone almost the last 12 months. He's scored like.
But he would never get as
stats,
much. He would never get as much. He would never get as much stick as a defender letting in. Like, there's a lot more scrutiny on a center back who ball watches or gets turned. Right. I'm making a good point here.
You're making a good point. I just have to. In my opinion, I think Ollie Watkins, Højbjerg, and Ruben Dias have all been equally good
right.
signings.
Okay. Okay.
Because Dias goes into a City team, which is already freakish, and they need a little help in the back. Højbjerg sits in the middle of Tottenham and transforms their entire situation.
Højbjerg is a great signing. I think Ruben Dias is a great signing, also a very expensive signing. Ollie Watkins is fucking pure luck.
I don't think it's luck.
It's luck, my G.
Dude, Ollie, if you are listening, I'm sorry. Jeff is on one. Spurs lost.
It's luck.
It's not luck.
It's luck.
It's not luck. Jeff.
It's a luck. It's lucky to pull a player at that value into your team and for him to produce like he's producing. It's not like they saw a crystal. They didn't use a crystal ball and were like, Ollie Watkins, I think he's going to be an amazing player in the Premier League.
Well, they had a different crystal ball than the one Chelsea had because Timo Werner and Havertz are underproducing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we will agree to disagree on that. But you think, getting back to our main point, you think it's potentially City and Liverpool after the next 10 games. So after week 30, with 8 games to go in the home stretch of the Premier League, you're thinking it's going to be Liverpool and City?
I don't think it's going to be like a crazy amount of points that are ahead of the third place team. Like,
two games?
Yeah, like 2 games. It's going to be like 6 to 8 points. It's not going to be crazy. But it's going to be the two of them. Because up until today, I mean, Liverpool hadn't scored a goal in 450 minutes or something crazy, and now they're scoring. And I think it's a confidence building game. I think a lot of the pundits were saying this today when I was watching the pregame was that it's a much more important game for Liverpool to win than for Tottenham to win.
Oh, far superior. If Tottenham lose, I think they're expected to lose, even though they're at home. It's still Liverpool.
Yeah.
If Tottenham Yeah, Tottenham were probably expected to lose, so that's fine. But if Liverpool are expected to win and then tie or don't, the space is really starting to grow with City, and
exactly.
They have a game in hand.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think Liverpool had a lot more pressure to win that game. They came out. They showed their class. They showed why they're one of the best teams in Europe. They had Henderson back playing defense with Matip. Fabinho didn't play at all, which was
so
interesting.
Just for our listeners at home, Jeff now believes City can win the title.
Yeah, I've totally changed. I've flipped.
I'm going to mention this as much as I can.
Well, dude, I already admitted it.
You did admit it. It was like in a City Anonymous meeting. Guys, this is Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
No, only a couple weeks ago, they've really like turned it up. They've decided they're like,
they've
nah.
gotten to the top of the Premier League, and at one point they were like 13th.
Yeah.
And they still have a game in hand.
They haven't lost a game in like 12 games or something like that.
I'm looking at it. They're a point ahead of United, but they have a game in hand. And United, I was talking to Nader today. Nader's a United fan, and he was just blown away. He was like, is there anything more 2021 than United beating Liverpool 2-1? It was 2-1, right? In the cup?
The cup, yeah.
And then they turn around and then they lose to Sheffield. Within hours, seemingly. I mean, like,
seemingly.
Within
it
a couple
like,
days.
It was like 3 days.
It was 72 hours. I mean, and it's just the Jekyll and Hyde. They are the Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, sometimes Harry Maguire, for me, is one of the best players in the league. Easter Island head himself, slab head. Hurts me to say. Other times, he's like
bad.
The ghost of Rudiger. He just looks rough.
He's slow.
I think he's deceptively slow because I think sometimes I'm like, oh, he got beat, and he uses his body well enough.
Yeah.
Granted, I think 95% of the times they're fouls, and Maguire just has like his own like ranking with the refs, but he doesn't get beat as much as you think he would for being kind of like just a dude
a lug.
He's a lug, dude.
He's a lug.
He really
lug.
Should be playing rugby with that forehead. What a guy.
He's so rough.
He's rough. And we joke about it, but honestly, the more we joke about someone, the better they do. And since we joke about it, United's gone to the top.
What I've thought about United is that they've been riding a wave, the wave of Fernandez, since the beginning.
Fernandez. Please use his Christian given name.
And when the guy doesn't get penalties in the box, that team doesn't win.
he has looked in the last 10 games. We're starting to see, we're starting to see things that we had always talked about, which is no one at any level, unless you're honestly Messi or Ronaldo or Lewandowski these days, no one can continue consistently to produce. I guess Salah could be in this because he always scores a billion goals. No one can continue consistently score and just make a difference like Fernandez is doing, especially out of the midfield. He does so much work. I mean, if it's like a group project, he's literally doing all of the work. He's doing all the gluing, cutting.
It's too tiring, man.
He does all the presenting. He does all the Q&A.
Eventually, you're out there, you're just like, dude, he's like out there. He's just like, I'm doing a lot, man. Can somebody else help me out?
Pogba? He also like created the most chances, I think, in Europe. So he just like puts it on a silver platter, and then Martial and Rashford just have like brain farts.
Right.
If you had a better striker, like Mbappe is going to probably come to the Premier League next year. I don't know what team he's going to go. Haaland is also going to come to the Premier League. If you have either of those guys that I believe are a lot more clinical with a Bruno Fernandes, oh, they're winning the Premier League. That's my opinion. They're winning the Premier League because he creates so many opportunities.
Haaland's not going to Man United.
Haaland's probably going to go to Chelsea.
Yeah, they got the pockets for him.
We need to finish, obviously, top four. Otherwise, we're not going to get him. So let's talk about week 21. It's coming up. It's upon us. Games start this Saturday. I can't believe we're already in week 21. We're also up in the Northeast having frigid cold nights. It's going to be like 5 degrees tomorrow at night with a real feel of like negative 10. So I wonder if it's going to be kickoff Saturday morning on the other side of the pond. I wonder if it's going to be super cold because, I don't know, like Spurs had to like train in snow the other day. I don't know.
Is that how it works? It like goes over?
What do you mean?
Travels? El Nino?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Torres. Fernando Torres. El Nino. He loves to travel.
Across the pond.
So Saturday we kick it off with Shampton versus Newcastle. And I really shouldn't say Shampton because every time we joke about Everton being a sham, they still have multiple games in hand and they are flying up the table and they are looking very good. Hummus is back. They are rocking.
Scored a fucking laser yesterday.
So foing. I got Everton on this 3-0. Newcastle are scrappy, but Everton's looking good.
Newcastle are a relegation team.
They're in the basement.
They're deep in relegation.
They're deep in the cut.
Fight.
They're not going to get relegated. They're not going to get relegated.
Are you sure?
No.
They're looking bad, dude.
There's 1 in 7 they get relegated. And the other 6 out of 7 is Sheffield.
Sheffield won.
Yeah, I know. And I told you, Nick texted me. He's like, Blades, baby, to Europe.
I'm telling you, they're going to do the Great Escape.
If they actually, I wonder what the bookies are. Someone DM us.
I'm going to put some money on that.
I might put $50 if I can get a future that they escape. Because Wilder.
Dave, if you're listening to this.
Dude, Dave's been dodging us. I'm like, yo, Dave, what are the picks?
Dave, you listen to this. We need to get on that bet. Blades not getting relegated.
Yeah, tell us what the future is on that. Because if it's 1 in 10, I might put a 50 spot
it's
on.
It's probably 1 in 20, dude.
You know I put the 50 spot, though? Because my Doja coin is pumping.
Dude, right now, Blades are on 8 points.
We're not going to talk about crypto on the pod?
Not going to talk about crypto.
Okay, we'll talk about crypto on another pod. What do you got? I got Everton 3-1.
Everton? No. 2-1.
Oh, wow. Mr. Conservatism over here.
Yeah.
This is going to be a game of two teams that always like to mess with Chelsea. Crystal Palace and Wolves.
Oh, Wolves are definitely going to look mediocre. No attacking ability. Somehow come out with a Fabio Silva 1-0 win. Unless Zaha gets in there. Is Zaha hurt? Is he back? Who knows?
If Zaha doesn't play, Crystal Palace lose. If Zaha plays, there'll be goals.
There'll be like maybe a goal or two.
No Zaha, no goals.
True. Truth. Put that on a shirt.
No, Zaha, no goals. Manchester City, Sheffield. Blades are going to be taken out behind the shed and hit with a small baseball bat repeatedly.
I don't think
this is going to be bad, dude.
No, I don't think it'll be as bad as you think.
All right, say that again to me with a straight face.
I don't think it will be as bad as you think.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, this is my reasoning behind that. Blades are not the worst team ever to play football.
Super strong defense. Continue. They're not the worst team ever to play. You're right. There was a movie called The Big Green, and some Larry redhead kid was put in the back until the Hispanic kid came to the town and won everything.
I'm going to go with a 3-1 Manchester. No, that's not fair. 3-0 Manchester City win.
Manchester City are going to beat them 4-0.
It's going to be
Blades
they won't,
are rough, dude.
Blades are rough. They can't score goals, and his defense is solid.
Yeah, we just got overdone saying they don't. They literally don't let any goals in.
3-0.
Okay, I'm going to go 4-0. West Brom, Fulham. This is the battle for the wooden spoon.
Fulham's better than West Brom. Full stop.
Fulham is better than West Brom. I'm going to go Fulham 1-0.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Fair. Ooh, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Arsenal United. Ooh, it's going to be a good game.
I'm going Arsenal.
Some payback, dude.
I predict Odegaard's going to come in as a sub, have a significant impact in the second half, and they're going to win.
He is super nice. When I saw that they signed him, I was genuinely worried because I don't think either of us are really, really excited about Arsenal in their current form. He is the piece that they needed for them to probably be in Europa League if they can stay on the current trajectory that they're on.
He's an attacking midfielder, right?
Yeah, he's okay. Very nice.
Yeah, so
very
they'll have
nice.
So they'll set up with Partey and him in the midfield, right?
Sure.
And because Partey's more of a holder.
Yeah, he's a holder.
Yeah, he's a holder.
Yeah, holds.
Yeah, I mean, if they have Lacazette playing as well as he did, and Saka's nice, dude. I mean, their team's good. Like
their team's really good, and they play better without Aubameyang and Ozil. Who would have thought? That's $500,000 a week, dude. That's $500,000 sitting on the
bench. Aubameyang was one of the worst signings. Like, it's such an Arsenal
signing. No. Willian was the worst signing they picked up in a long time.
Willian was bad.
But I want to shout out Ozil real quick, and I'm really happy for him because you, like, see him in Rondos out in Turkey, and he looks happy. And he's getting, like, megged, and he's like, oh, I'm playing again.
He's like, I got to touch a football.
Oh, Turkish friends.
He took a ridiculous pay cut. He's making 60K a week there. And dude, 60K a week is still like a shitload of money for
60K a week.
Person.
Anyone listening to this podcast would probably kill for. But.
Yeah, but either way, the guy just wants to play soccer. Just give them he just wants some minutes.
He just wants some minutes. He just wants a little PT.
That's it.
A little playing time.
A little playing time. Doesn't want to ride the pine. Doesn't want to sit on the sidelines anymore.
I honestly hope that he plays for Fenerbahce. That he's played for Fenerbahce, right? Am I crazy?
Yeah, Fenerbahce.
I hope that he plays really well, and I'm actually not even sure if they're in the Europa League, but there would be some dirty, sweet, loving karma irony if they had to play Arsenal and he, like, just destroyed Arsenal because he's still a baller. The baller is in there.
Oh, he's still.
He's got to get his fitness right, and he says that's right, but there's no way. He hasn't played a competitive game in a long time. But, so, all right, you got Arsenal. I got Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
I got a tie, 2-2, actually.
Manchester United, they really are the Jekyll and Hyde team of the Premier League.
I got 2-2.
I'm not even going to give them that. They're playing a lot better. I think they're playing a lot better.
They're one of the most informed teams right now in the Premier League.
I'm going to say 2-1. They're going to win.
Southampton Villa. This is another juicy game. Both these teams are still a little overachieving, I think.
Juicy.
Juicy game.
Villa just is coming off a loss, though.
Doesn't matter. They're Villa. They're nice. They still have, like, games in hand, dude.
I'm going to go with Southampton. I think they're pretty good. They just tied Leicester.
A little Hassan huddle for you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Southampton 1-0.
They're right next to each other in the table. I would like Southampton to win because Astonville's got multiple games in hand, so that's completely fine with me. Ooh, Sunday we have a banana peel called Burnley. Tuchel has to get a win in this game, or it's gonna be a rough start.
Is it the banana peel?
It is a banana peel because
they
just came off a
big win over.
They did have a big win. They've had multiple big wins, yeah. But. This is a game that Chelsea need to win, so it's a banana peel for Chelsea. Tuchel has got to, whatever systems he's trying to put in there, he's got to implement and get the boys out running, and we've got to win this game. Chelsea want to be top four. We've got to start winning games that we should win, full stop, because we're having trouble with the teams that are higher up on the table. So a team that's lower than us, we've got to beat them, full stop.
Sure.
I'm going to go Chelsea 2-0, and that's optimistic, because right now we're struggling to score goals.
It's going to be a lot more defensive than you think. I think it's going to be 1-0 Chelsea.
I'll take it.
I'm going to correct you on the Fenerbahce comment. Fenerbahce is not in the Europa League, but they are second in the Turkish League right now, so they will potentially be in the Europa League next year.
Exactly. I was dreaming, baby. I was dreaming. I love it.
Yeah.
I would just love that to happen because I think Ozil would play out of his mind. He would have so much incentive. And I think the Arsenal fans would love to see it too. You just want to see the guy happy.
I don't think the guy really doesn't hate the club. The guy.
No, he doesn't hate the club. He clearly didn't get along with some people in the club, and that's why he didn't play. I don't think he hates the club. I think he loves Arsenal.
Yeah. I don't think he has.
On some level.
You got to respect the guy. The guy donated half of his salary to charity. Let's be real.
Oh, you're calling Gunnosaurus charity now?
No. I think legit
charities.
No, I
think he legit did too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's only so much money you can, like, have.
Yeah, he has so much money. Yeah. Leicester Leeds. This is going to be a good one. I'm going to go Leicester 1-0. They're kind of in a
I think Leicester, Madison looks nice, dude. That guy is fire.
James Madison for me is top three right now in the Premier League.
So good.
He's so good. He's so good. Fluid. He's just having fun, and he's just doing dudes out there. I mean, just mega guy, knock a ball, you know, whipping across. He's just, God, he's so good. He's so good. I wish Chelsea could sign him. That's what we should sign, honestly. Like, we need that, but we just picked up Havertz. So, what do you got?
I'm going to go Leicester 2-1.
All right, I'm going Leicester 1-0.
Okay.
How about West Ham, Liverpool? West Ham, that's
sneaky fifth in the league. Fourth right now in the league. Right?
Yeah. I was going to say, no, they're fifth in the league right behind Liverpool.
Fifth, okay.
I mean, it's just incredible what David Moyes has done there, because I always thought David Moyes was kind of a bum.
And they just brought into their team on
Everton?
Loan. West Ham.
Oh, who?
Jesse Lingard.
Oh, Lingeezy.
Yeah. It's nice to see Lingard will actually get some playing time.
Or maybe he won't.
Or maybe he won't. Maybe he'll ride the pine. Be a super sub. Yeah, no, I don't know. West Ham is how long they can keep this going. How long can they keep this going?
This will be the start of them not keeping this going.
Okay.
I think Liverpool will beat them by 2 goals. I don't know what the score will be, but I predict 2 goals. After what I saw today, Mane could have scored 3 or 4 goals himself.
Goals.
He just
was
a little off an angle, a turn of the hip, a turn of the foot. I think they're going to feel really comfortable this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2-0.
2-0? Okay. And finally, we round it out with Spurs. Brighton Hove Albion.
Spurs will win this game. But it's not going to be an easy game for them. It'll be a 1-0 park the bus fest.
Park the bus / the tires.
Yeah, it'll be like they'll score early. Some will get in there and just like dink it in. And then, you know, it'll be like just them crossing the ball into the box. And it'll be the head the ball out the box fest for about 90 minutes.
I need you to tell us about fantasy. I don't have fantasy downloaded on this particular technological device called iPhone 7.
Ooh, iPhone 7, deep in the
deep
lore.
Deep in the Steve Jobs lore. This thing is so tiny now when I hold it. It's just like a newborn baby.
Are we really doing fantasy still? We're still doing fantasy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just don't have my phone that has the fantasy.
I don't even know what place I'm in. I'm in eighth still.
Would you like me to read the fantasy?
No, I'll do it.
Can you do it justice, though?
No.
Okay,
no,
thanks.
Can't do it justice.
Yeah, you could. Okay. And a number one, not so special one, Aza T, come on down. He is destroying us. What happened? Aza T at number one. God, he is destroying. Jesus Larry, Jason all the way to second. Ooh, BS United and Kitts in third. Jeffrey, all the way to eighth. Pretty little Jeffrey falling down the hill. But your boy's falling farther. I am in 12th now. It is so freaking brutal,
dude. So good, dude.
So brutal. And the bottom three are still the bottom three of always. Even though Diego got out of the basement, he's in 15 now with Shikaka. I don't even think he knows what fantasy is anymore.
No.
Mac really took... Oh, my God. Where is Mac? Mac is below... Mac's right next to me. Mac and Eddie were, like, top for a while, but they need to step their games up, so you've been called out. Mitch also, dude. FC Empanadas. You got to step your game up. He's in 9th. Ooh, how the tables have turned.
I haven't really looked at my fantasy. I'm also very depressed about Spurs. I'm in my feelings about Spurs these days.
Oh, it happens.
Yep.
And that's really all we got, because Dave's picks. I don't know what's going on with Dave. He changed his number. Apparently, he got an iPhone. He got a work phone. But for those of you watching at home, we got these sweet jerseys from Boston Siege. So I want to show that Boston Siege jersey. And then, shout out Luke Dedeus also sent us this super old school Man City Zabaleta jersey. I think this thing is just class. We're going to put it up here on the wall. If you have any jerseys or swag that you don't want anymore or they're still at your parents' house and you want to get rid of them, send them down here. We have the Bunker jersey
wall.
Pavilion. I was going to go pavilion. It makes no sense.
Pavilion?
That makes no sense. Maybe I'm hungry.
Yeah.
It's a library of love, this wall. So jerseys have come from all over. This Man City will go well because right now it's very London-y with our Arsenal, Chelsea, and Tottenham. Ellen gave us this flag. So anyways, if you have stuff that you're like, oh, I'd love to send to the barbershop to help the boys and bolos, please send that out. But that's really
We need all the help we can get.
We need all the help we can get. But yeah, we got a lot of Boston Siege swag, like this sweet hat, which I'm showing. I know you guys can't see it. But anyways, yeah. Jeff, that's all I got.
Thanks again, Jarrett. We're going to go...
You're thanking me again.
I know. I'm going to go cry a little bit. about Spurs.
Yeah, the lights are really low in here. It's like a seance.
Chelsea and Spurs are now very mediocre in the middle of the table.
Back to the good old days.
Back to the good old days. And that's all I got.
Well, ciao.
Ciao. Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned, or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.